Welcome to the Small Batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour, NPR's podcast about what we are watching, reading, and listening to. I'm Glenn Weldon. I write about books and comics for the NPR website. The Doctor Who season finale aired this past weekend, so we thought it'd be a good time to check in with our favorite Doctor Who superfan, NPR books editor Petra Mayer. Welcome, Petra.
Hello, I see my reputation precedes me.
It certainly does. It certainly does. So, before the taping, you said, I have thoughts. Let's back this up a little bit. So we're talking here about what the fans call New Who. Is that correct?
Yes, we are.
Okay, what that means is this show has been running off and on for 50 years on British television, on the BBC, took a little time off, and then in 2005 it came back after a long hiatus run by a guy by the name of Russell T. Davies.
Yes.
Okay. He was the showrunner for a good three or four seasons, and he gave us two different Doctors, the writer of some of what some consider the best episodes of that run is now the showrunner, a guy by the name of
Stephen Moffat.
Okay, and this run has been controversial. He's also given us two Doctors for the past 3 years. We've had the Professor Puppy Happy Energetic Doctor, very young Doctor, the youngest actor to ever play him, Matt Smith. And this year he was replaced, and this is the season we're talking about now, by Peter Capaldi. Now, listeners might know him from The Thick of It and from In the Loop, playing a irascible, blisteringly profane character called Malcolm Tucker. And so tell me a little bit about the Peter Capaldi Doctor. How does he differ from others?
Well, first I'd like to say that clearly somebody on the Doctor Who writing staff for this season has watched The Thick of It, because Malcolm Tucker was best known for lots of things we can't say on a family radio podcast, and somebody transmuted that in the episode Time Heist. The Doctor yelled, "Shuddity, up, up, up," and thousands of hearts went pitter-pat.
Yeah, absolutely. He is really the Malcolm Tucker Doctor, correct?
I wouldn't go that far.
What sets him apart? What's different about him?
The one word you're going to hear over and over and over and over again about this season, and it's applicable, is dark. The past couple of Doctors have definitely had a dark core. Both Matt Smith and David Tennant could go from, like, happy-go-lucky, cheerful, cute guy with floppy hair to freezing, you know, oncoming storm, I will kill you and your little Daleks too. They could turn on a dime. Capaldi kind of starts there. He's much more like William Hartnell, the very first Doctor. When he started doing the show, they hadn't quite developed the idea of the Doctor as this happy-go-lucky, jolly wanderer. He was cranky. He was dark. In the very first serial, The Unearthly Child, there's a moment where he almost brains a caveman with a rock. And this is what you're getting with Peter Capaldi, the unpredictable, the dark, the cranky, the prickly. As the series goes along, you discover that he does have a little bit of the marshmallow heart of the previous two Doctors, but he's definitely a return to classic Who.
Is it too reductive to say, when 2005, when the series came back, the relationship between the Doctor and his companion had an element of romance, sometimes a very big element of romance?
Are you talking about the fact that Rose was basically an author insert character for Russell T. Davis?
Pretty much,
yes.
And now, with this Doctor, we're going back to the old Hartnell dynamic of somebody being a professorial in a cranky way, critical way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guilty of this as much as anybody else, because when they announced Capaldi, my immediate thought was, oh, they cast an old dude, there won't be any more romance. And I would like to just say, for the record, Peter Capaldi is smoking hot, and we all just need to admit that.
Absolutely.
But they did make a very conscious choice. In fact, they lampshaded it really ridiculously.
Tell people what lampshaded means.
I don't know if it was Moffat who wrote the first episode of the season, but whoever it was hung a lampshade on the fact that they were moving away from this relationship by having the Doctor say, "I'm not your boyfriend."
Yep, there you go. In case you missed it.
But
Moffat's tenure has been controversial. Both you and I have talked this show about how he treats the character of Clara.
Right. Well, how he treats women in general. What often gets said about Moffat, a lot of times because I'm saying it, is that he can't write women. He has a real problem with writing women who aren't motivated solely by their biology or by the men in their lives. Over the past couple of seasons, I've sort of expanded that thought, and I've realized that he actually can't write people who are capable of reacting in any emotionally consistent way to the insane things that are happening around them, even the classic episodes that he's written. He's very good at writing twisty plots and scary monsters. He's not so good at writing how people will react to those things.
Now, what do you think of the critique that he has actually been trying to address some of that with this season? In early episodes, Clara is given things to do, and she does them on her own. own. She uses her own, let's get grad school here, agency, and she does something for herself. Now, that is not the typical role of a companion. The role of a companion is to explain things to the audience and to get rescued. And with this, she has actually been given a wider role, I guess, different things to do than typically we see on Doctor Who, correct?
Sure. Well, certainly in the classic series, the role of the companion was to explain things to the viewer and then to get rescued. Mm-hmm. I think in the modern series, they have a little bit broader range. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you asked about Clara, and then I went off on a tangent. My problem with Clara specifically is that last season she was a cipher. She was a plot device on legs.
A puzzle.
She was the epitome of the Moffat woman in that she had no personality other than generically sassy, and she was literally a deus ex machina. The universe brought her into existence, split her across the Doctor's timelines, and sent her to save him. And yes, I do think, and this is one of the reasons why my whole mood this season has been of one of increasingly pleasant surprise, that Moffat and the other writers have really been trying to address that. She has, admittedly, they've done it by making her kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
But even that is refreshing.
All right. Let me ask you this question. What I've always loved about this series is its humanism. Not necessarily in the, you know, rational, non-mystical, non-religious sense, although it does carry some of that. Invariably a scientific explanation for things, even if that science is really bat poop crazy.
Hand-wavium is the technical
term. And
hand-wavium
and wibbly-wobbly and all that stuff. But also, it believes in the human race. And this doctor explicitly doesn't necessarily, or at least in the beginning. You're right. There has been an arc with his character. When we first meet Capaldi, he is very down on the human race, particularly on the military nature of it, which other doctors have been. But what I got less of this season was some of that uplift. At the end, at the finale of every new Who, there's always the moment where the camera spins, the music swells, and the doctor delivers a big speech. And he says something that, if you don't have the receptor for it, it doesn't give you chills, like builds to a big moment, like it is defended. It gives you chills if you were ready for it. And I miss that here. I didn't have that huge moment of just uplift.
I think so much of this season has been a reaction to criticisms and a reaction to finales of seasons past, which have tended to pack in everything and the kitchen sink and to end on some huge emotionally explosive note. And this season's finale ended with the Doctor and Clara staring each other down across a grim cafe table, lying about how happy they are. I loved it. Yeah. I loved it.
Good to hear. speaking of loving it, the Christmas special. They always do a Christmas special.
And it always sucks.
Yeah, but they're really leaning into the skid with the whole Christmas thing this time, with Nick Frost as Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Actually, I shouldn't say it always sucks. Can I take that back? Because The Runaway Bride, which introduced Donna Noble.
My favorite companion.
Mine too. Thank you. We are both people of taste. Mm-hmm. That was a Christmas episode, I think, is the only good one.
Yeah. I mean, the spider thing was bad. Anyway, do we know anything about whether or not Capaldi's coming back? I mean, he probably is, but have we heard anything definitive?
This is not a show that pulls big surprises.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they announced Peter Capaldi in a giant special on British TV where he stepped out of a TARDIS. I have a feeling that if there were any major casting changes in store, we'd know, but come New Year's Day, I could look like a total fool. Who knows?
And on that note, full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday on iTunes or from your favorite podcast provider or at npr.org. Thanks so much, Petra.
Thank you.